Welcome to the Open Door Podcast. I'm Pastor John Riley. I hope that today's message will encourage you and help you to find deeper intimacy with Jesus. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can visit us online at opendoorsanrafael.com.
I'm really sorry Pastor John can't be with us today. I know he is preparing a great message, which hopefully you'll hear next Sunday. So in the meantime, I'm happy to jump in and fill in. And so my retirement lasted two Sundays. So here we are. Anyway, happy to be here, and we'll give it our best shot today. So it's Father's Day. This is not a Father's Day message per se, but the title of our message today is Peace and Rest. And this is something that applies to all of us, but I would say for dads, I've been a dad for a long time. Being a dad is a challenge. Of course, being a mother is a challenge. Life is a challenge. And in the midst of it, God wants us to have peace and rest in our lives. And so I wanted to speak to that today. So Father, I thank you for this opportunity just to be here. To fill in for John, and I do continue to pray you'll just raise them up. They could be back with us next Sunday as good as new. Thank you for this message, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will deliver what you want this morning and that we would receive what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so peace and rest. I dusted off my old NIV Bible. I'll be using NIV today. It's a little harder to work with because of its size, but we'll do our best. So we're going to start in the very beginning, which is creation. When God created the world, he spoke it into existence. I love that. You know, there's another place in the Bible that says that all things are held together by the power of his word. So everything, all the atoms, everything, the universe, how things spin and work together, it's all held together simply by the word of his power, the power of his word. And if God ever said, that's it, then it would just, it would all be gone. So I'm going to turn to the first chapter of Genesis here as an example of what God did. And this is the first thing he did. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. He liked it. Yeah, God must know how to have fun, you know? I mean, have you ever done something you say, I like that. I like that, what I did. So that's what God did. He saw that the light was good, and he separated light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So there you have it. And that was how creation went. So it was with all creation that God just spoke everything to existence, you know, animals and stars and the moon and the sun and just everything. He just spoke it like that into existence. So awesome. However, when he came to what we consider, I guess this is kind of narcissistic, but it's referred to as the crown of his creation, that's us, with all of our warts, we're the crown of his creation. When he came to the crown of his creation, the Bible said that he formed us. And I love this. He didn't just say, let there be men, let there be women. It said he took the dust of the ground and he formed us. I see that. I see God taking his two hands and just taking that dust, make it into clay, like for pottery. And he shaped us and molded us to be men and women. I love that. And I'm going to turn to that in Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the heaven, the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field was yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth. And there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed man, that's Adam, that's the word. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And I love that. So he spoke all of creation except for us, and he took us very personally and formed us into the shape and manner that he wanted us to be. So we are like clay in the potter's hands. And I love how scripture picks up on this thing, this theme, that we are clay in the potter's hands. So I'm turning to Isaiah chapter 64, if my Bible will cooperate. Where are you? There you are. Isaiah 64, verse 8. And it says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." I love that. You are the potter. We are the clay. And again, the Bible continues with this theme. In the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has this to say in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where he says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." God shaped us and molded us like clay, and we have to always remember we are clay, and he is the potter, and we have our limitations. It reminded me of another story in the New Testament where Jesus comes across a man who is blind. And Jesus had unique ways of healing people, and he always, he just had different ways of doing things, as you should know. But in this case, he said he bent over and he took some dust and he spat on it and he made clay. And he put it on the man's eyes. Clay, I love that. You're made out of clay, I'm putting clay on your eyes. Now go and wash and you will be healed. And the man went and washed, and he was healed. He is the potter. We are the clay. So since we are shaped and molded by him like a pot, he certainly knows who we are and what we need. So our Heavenly Father knows us, everything about us. He designed us, he made us, and he certainly knows exactly what we need. And the thing that one of the things we need, which we're talking about today, is his peace and rest in our lives. So going back to the story of creation, we see God gave us an example of what we need. We'll turn back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested or ceased from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating what he had done." So on the seventh day, God ceased from his labor. He created us and everything else. He ceased from his labor and he rested from his work. But God doesn't need rest. God does not need rest. God does not grow tired or weary like us. I want to make this distinction clear. I'm going to look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 and 29. It says this, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So our God doesn't really need to rest. He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't slumber or sleep. But he's always on duty. Let me turn to one more passage in Psalm 121. It says this: "Lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep." So God rested or ceased from his labors, but he doesn't need rest like we do. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He's always on duty. Thank God for our sake. But we are not God. Though we think we are, often. We may not confess that, but there's that part of us that, I'm pretty good. But we are not God. We are his creation, and we do need rest, and we do need his peace. We are made that way. A lot of us try to live like we're not made that way. I mean, there are people who are, quote, lazy, and that's another issue. We could be another sermon. But most of us, we think we can just keep going. 6 days a week, 7 days a week, we could just keep going, but that's not how God made us. And eventually you hit the wall if that's how you want to live. And I know for all the type A's out there, that's a challenge. Sorry. But we all need that rest that God can give. We need that rest. So he gave us this command, Exodus chapter 20. This is the longest command of the Ten Commandments. So pay attention. The longest one. "Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested, ceased from his labors on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So I guess God couldn't make any more clear than that. It's the longest commandment in the Ten Commandments that he's saying to us, I made you, and I made you to rest. I made you to work hard. You know, we are created for good works. God created us. Life is not fulfilling if you're not working, and hard work is a good thing for us all, regardless of what your job may be. But we're designed to cease from our labor and to rest and to have his peace. So he gave us that commandment to follow. And we all struggle with that, I know. And there's different ways of taking a Sabbath. But if we're smart, we will listen to God and we will practice getting that peace and rest that we need for our lives. We need God's peace and rest in our lives, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually, we all need God's peace and his rest in our lives. It's not just one or the other. It's all three. We need that. And our being cries out for that. Sometimes we ignore that plea. But our bodies, our lives will let us know when we need physical rest, when we need emotional rest, when we need spiritual rest, when we need physical peace, emotional peace, spiritual peace. Our lives, our beings will speak loud and clear if we will listen. And also in conjunction with that, the Holy Spirit saying, you need this. And if we are smart, we will listen and we will cooperate with God and seek his peace and his rest. Peace and rest go hand in hand. It's hard to have one without the other. So it's hard to have physical rest, for example, if you're not at peace. And I can testify, I'm so guilty of this. When I go to bed, I sleep for a couple hours, then I wake up and I just start thinking and trying to figure out all the problems in the universe. My family, the church family, you know, it just goes on and on. And you toss and turn, and you're wrestling with world events or whatever, your finances, you name it. So it's hard to get any rest when you don't have that peace, isn't it? Yes. And if you're not rested, if you're exhausted, it's hard to find peace if you're just so exhausted. So they go hand in hand, and we need both of them. We need peace and rest, and they go hand in hand. So how do we find this peace and this rest? Well, I'll share a few thoughts from Scripture today. There's probably more than this, but these are the ones that the Lord directed me to. How do we find this peace and rest for our lives, physically, emotionally, and spiritually? I'm going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Okay? I'm at a crossroads here. I'm going to look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But unfortunately, it says, but you said, we will not walk in it. What a condemnation. Look for that path. We find God's peace and rest when we stay on the path. You've seen those commercials where people say nowadays, stay in your lane. You know, it can be funny. Stay in your lane. Well, we need to stay in our lane as believers, as God's creation. We need to stay in our lane. Stay on the path that God has created for us. The path of salvation, of course, following the Lord, being committed to Him, but the path He has for your life. What is the path God has for your life? Are you going to stay in your lane? Are you going to stay on the path? That is the path to peace and rest in your life. If you're following the path that God has laid out for you, both in terms of your salvation and whatever He's called you to do, stay in your lane. Stay on that path to find peace and rest. There are many paths. There are many paths. But there's only one that's your path. We all have the same path with salvation, and we want to be true to that path. But we all have different paths for our life. Be true to the path that God has put upon you. In conjunction with that, is Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But again, this indictment, but you would have none of it. Oh my goodness. I hope that's not our confession. I hope that's not true for us, that we would have none of it. And repentance and rest, another word, a way to interpret that word repentance is returning. In returning and rest, your salvation. So the application in that is, you know, from time to time, we get off the path, whether it's your personal path or maybe you're just the path of salvation that God has for you. Not that you've lost your salvation, but you're just sort of are losing your way. And God is saying, if you repent, if you return to the path, get back on the path, you'll find rest and peace and refreshing again. In returning and rest, Return to the path. So, stay in your lane. Stay on the path that God has put before you and with regard to salvation for us all. So that's the first one. We find God's peace and rest when we stay on the path and return to it if you've gone off the path. The second one, Isaiah 26, we find God's peace and rest when we stay focused on Him. Isaiah 26. This is one of my favorite verses that my aunt and uncle put in one of the first Bibles they ever gave me. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. You, referring to God, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. A better translation is this: you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. One of the ways that we find and continue in God's peace and rest is when we remain focused on the Lord, being mindful of him throughout the day. This is something, as the years have gone by in my life, I find myself more and more mindful of the Lord all throughout the day. It's just like the Lord is everywhere. It's like brushing my teeth. And little things happen. I say, thank you, Lord. You know, I found that thing or whatever. Just being mindful, just like this ongoing mindfulness and being focused on the Lord. It brings peace and rest to our lives. It's difficult to do this. We live in a world with, there are millions of distractions. You know, watching the news will wreck your life most of the time. Reading the paper can wreck your life. I mean, life is just, and right now especially, we all know how crazy things are right now in our lives. With the pandemic, in the economy. I mean, all this list of things going on right now. It's so easy to be distracted and lose our peace and lose our rest. But we have to fight that. We have to stay on the path and we have to remain mindful of the Lord throughout the day. Be mindful of Him, be focused on Him. And I like to remind myself, Lord, as crazy as things are right now, you're still God. You know, you're not asleep at the switch. You know what's going on. And somehow, you're going to use all of this for your glory. It's all going to work out for your purposes, as crazy as it is. And on top of that, Lord, I know that down the road, when we come into your kingdom, it's awesome. And I've become more and more mindful of the Lord's kingdom as the days go by. Just that God has this amazing thing waiting for us all. He's called us to walk through this life, to walk through these struggles, to be faithful to Him, to be faithful in our witness, to bring as many people as we can with us into His kingdom. But it's there waiting for us. I don't know what life would be like if we didn't know that that was waiting for us. But being mindful of the Lord, and that He's with us now and always, and what He has for us, it helps me to have peace and rest. I can just like, you know, whenever I watch the news, I'm going crazy, and I go, okay, Lord, it's okay, because You're the Lord. You're in control one way or another. I just want to find Your peace and rest in that. I'm just going to rest in You and find my peace in You. So we find God's peace and rest when we stay on the path, when we continue to be mindful of Him in our lives. A third way, we find God's peace and rest when we depend on Him alone. Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will never be shaken. My soul finds rest in Him alone. Now, we can do a lot of things to find peace and rest for our lives. You know, there are different things that you do that you enjoy and so on and so forth. And I know vacations can be one of those. Our family's been on millions of vacations. Not millions, but we've been on a lot of vacations. And, you know, we love going to the national parks and having a good time. We haven't done that in quite a while. But vacations are a great thing. But personally, I think vacations are a waste of time if you're not looking for God's peace and rest in those things. You know, if you're just trying to have as much fun as you can, most people confess when they get home, they're more tired than when they left, right? I need a vacation from a vacation. But I think what I have discovered, I think it's true for Mona, is being mindful of the Lord. If you're on a vacation, just be mindful of the Lord. Look for His peace and His rest. Stay on the path. And then it can be a blessing. But ultimately, our peace and our rest comes from God alone. He is the source of our peace and rest. And He can work through other things to give us peace and rest if we're mindful of Him in doing those things. But at the end of the day, it's only God that can give us that ultimate peace in our lives, in our hearts, in our spirit, and that rest that we want so much. And again, we can do all these other things to have fun and so on and so forth, but they don't really give you that thing that only God can give us. We find God's peace and rest when we depend on Him alone for those things. And the fourth, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This one is very familiar. This is the invitation that God gives us, okay? Come to me. Hello. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. Come to me. How often do we suffer longer than whatever because we simply aren't smart enough to just come to the Lord? Okay? Coming to the Lord. Bringing our stuff to Him on a regular basis. And I just wanted to call out Steve Johnson on this. Steve Johnson was one of our pastors for 15 years, one of my dearest friends. He's one of my heroes because I don't know anybody who's had more passion and devotion to the Lord than Pastor Steve Johnson. But I've learned so much from Steve about walking. I was his boss, okay? I learned so much from Steve about how to walk with the Lord when we were working together. And we still talk on a regular basis. And he gives me prophetic words, which I love. But Pastor Steve, and he still does this, every day he gets up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And when he lived in Terra Linda, he lived right on the edge of open space. There was a mountain right behind his house. And every day, he'd get up at 4 or 5 in the morning, and he'd go up that hill, to the top of that hill. And he would just simply cry out to God and just say, God, here's my stuff. This is my sin. This is what I'm struggling with. These are all the things I'm afraid of. These are all the things that are making me insecure. These are all my weaknesses. Have mercy. And God would bless him and speak into his life. And then he would give us a good sermon based on it. But Steve is one of my heroes because he took Jesus seriously. When Jesus said, come to me with all your stuff, Steve took him up on it. It's a, here I am, Lord, and here's all my stuff. So I encourage all of us today, follow that pattern. Whether it's every day or as often as you can, just come to God with all your stuff. You don't have to have any pretense. You don't have to pretend you're something you're not. Just, God, this is who I am. This is truthfully and honestly who I am. God, I give all my stuff to you. And God wants to bless you in that, give you peace and rest, lift all that junk off of your shoulders, and give you his plan, his path. We find God's peace and rest when we bring it all to him. Learning how to rest in the Lord and find his peace can take some time. I've been working on it for 74 years. I'm getting there. But finding his peace and rest, it's not, you just don't, you're not born with it, let's put it that way. It's something you have to practice, you have to look for and take the scriptures seriously and apply them. But Jesus was our example. And I love this. You know, Jesus was fully God and fully man, okay? But the fully God part, the fully man part was like us. Jesus got tired. He got weary. He got exhausted. And when the crowds would let him, he would get up before dark, like Steve Johnson, and he would go out into some solitary place and just give it all to the Father. Father, whoa, help me. You know, if you can take this cup from me, please do. What an example Jesus was to us. Jesus stayed on the path. Jesus stayed focused on the Father. He remained dependent on the Father for all things, and he brought everything to the Father. So Jesus modeled what we need to do. Come apart and be with the Lord. And bring him all your stuff. He grew exhausted, but he knew where to go and he knew what to do. Finding God's peace and rest. I'll pick on Steve Johnson one more time. I learned a lot about preaching from Steve. And Steve is a type A guy, wired. Okay, Steve is, he would confess that. He's wired. He's, you know, he's just a high-intensity guy. And so preaching was a challenge because he used to be so wound up. And so one day he said, Mike, he said, this is what I have to do. He said, I have to take a deep breath, and I have to just be able to give my sermon to the Lord. I need to rest in the Lord and find his peace. I just need to relax in the Lord and let him do what he's gonna do. He said, when I can do that, it goes well. When I forget to do that, it does not go so well. I learned a lot from that. Because I realized, even though outwardly I usually appear pretty calm, inside I'm just about as crazy as Steve is, actually, just sort of wound up, anxious. And so many years ago, I started to practice that for myself just before a sermon. Lord, I just want your peace. I just want to let go of this message. You can do whatever you want with it. I want to relax and rest in you and have your peace. Thank you, Lord. I'll give you one more story before we come to a close here. You know, for the past several years, every day, six days a week, I go out and take a long walk in our neighborhood. And the first half hour, I take my dog out with me, and so he can meet all the neighbors and attack all the other dogs and, you know, all that. And he's got a reputation now in the neighborhood. Watch out for the 17-pound monster. But I take my dog out for a walk, and then I bring him home, and then I go out for a walk in the neighborhood. And I go out there for physical exercise, for emotional peace, and for spiritual peace. And with the hope that if it's God's will, I would be able to connect with neighbors and have an opportunity to minister somehow. But I have, you know, there are days when I have a lot of anxiety, and it's like, Lord, I don't think I want to meet anybody today. You know, just I like to just go for my walk, you know, with my own thoughts, my own prayers, and just, you know, whatever. But this past year, this is what I pray when I start my walk. I say, Lord, I thank you for your providence today. I thank you for whatever you have for me on my walk today. And I just try to rest in that and have God's peace. Okay, whatever's going to happen, I'm just going to trust you for it, Lord. And there's some days when nothing happens, when I just take my walk and maybe wave to a couple of people. But then there are other days when different things happen. And then this past week, two things happened. I think it was on Thursday. I was walking and came to the corner. And one of our neighbors, I'll refer to her as Mary. She was getting something out of her car. And I could tell she was in a lot of pain. And as she started walking back towards her house, she was limping badly, and she started to cry, and I said, good morning, Mary. And she said, today is my dad's 92nd birthday, and I wanted to drive down to San Diego to give him a present and see him, but my hip is in such great pain, I can't drive. And she sat down on the bench in front of her house, and she said, would you please come and pray with me? Thank you. And so I sat down with Mary, and we prayed together. I prayed for her healing. I prayed for her dad. I prayed that she'd be able to get down to see him. But that was a God thing. You know, that was his providence. And what I'm getting at is, for me to, should I put it this way, be at my best in those moments, it helps that I've just given it to the Lord. You know, instead of saying, oh no, somebody wants to talk to me, but just say, okay, this belongs to you, Lord. And then 2 days before that, it was a full week, I was walking, and another neighbor, I'll call him Jim, he says, Mike, and I stop and look around, and he catches up with me, and normally we just say hi, hope you're doing okay, but today, he wanted to walk with me, so we walked together, I don't know how far, and he just began to pour out his heart to me. You know, he lost his wife recently, he's still suffering from that. He's 83 years old, he's worried about his retirement and what's happening with the economy. He's worried about his kids, and he talked about his kids, and at the end, you know, I just gave him a big hug, and I said, you know, Mona and I are really going to be praying for you, and he knows us both well. But that was another God moment. But it really helps me when I start those walks to say, Lord, thank you for your providence today. Whatever happens, I just want to be able to rest in you and have your peace, and let it be according to your will. So I hope you're getting that connection there about just being able to let go of things. I mean, we need to do that every day in our lives, whether you're going to work. Lord, I just want to give you my day. I pray for your providence that I will connect with people I need to connect with, that things will go well. And just in that, have God's peace and rest in your spirit as you do that. I can let go and trust him for this day. And we'll see what happens. God wants us to enjoy peace and rest. In order for that to happen, we need to stay on the path. We need to remain focused, mindful of Him. We need to remain faithful, dependent upon Him. And, of course, to bring all of our burdens to Him, all of our burdens, and to thank Him for His providence. I'll close with this scripture. It's not on the screen. Psalm 91, maybe it is. Psalm 91, 1 through 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Doesn't that sound good? Resting in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Peace and rest. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how much you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't just speak us into existence, but you took us in your hands. You took that dirt, you made it into clay, and you formed us, lovingly formed us in who we are. And we thank you, God, because of that. Lord, you know us. You know everything about us, every cell. And we thank you, Lord, that you know what it takes for us to have peace and rest in this life. And I pray, God, you'll help us to apply these things. Lord, we want to walk every day with you in your spirit, with your peace and rest in our hearts. And we thank you for it, Father. So, Lord, I thank you for everybody here today. And I pray, God, for your peace and rest to settle on all of us here today, Lord. And Lord, if any of us are just struggling, God, help us to let go and find your peace today and your rest. If anyone is struggling, if anyone has veered off the path, by your grace, Lord, help that person to come back on the path, Lord. If anyone has forgotten that you are the focus, Lord, help them to refocus on you. If anyone is carrying burdens today, that they have forgotten or failed to turn them over to you, Lord, let them turn them over to you today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name.